In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we celebrate today the feast of St. Xenia of St. Petersburg, a very popular saint not only in Russia but around the world, and a very interesting life with both moments of tragedy and generous grace. Now, St. Xenia lived in the 18th century, so a modern saint by Orthodox standards anyhow. Nothing is known of her childhood or teenage years, but we know she met a man named Andre, and she fell madly in love with him. Andre was a major in the Russian army, and soon they were married. Xenia and Andre were the light of each other's eyes, the envy of other couples everywhere, what poets might call soulmates. Now that all changed tragically when Xenia was 26 years old. Andre died suddenly, leaving Xenia with no husband and childless. And Xenia's life was forever changed in that moment. But her life also took a path we might consider peculiar. Xenia stopped wearing women's clothes and started wearing her husband's, most notably his green military coat. And actually, if you look at the icon in the center of our church, you'll see they have painted her appropriately in his green military coat. She also insisted that people call her Andre and not Xenia, saying Andre didn't die, Xenia died. Relatives and neighbors at first thought it was an overabundance of grief that would soon pass. But the weeks of saying, I'm Andre, Xenia is the one who died, mounted. And when that was combined with selling off property and possessions, giving all the proceeds away to the poor, and choosing to live a homeless life, well, they took Xenia to the authorities to try to have her committed for her own good until she came to her senses. But when Xenia was questioned by doctors, she knew who she was. Her answers were intelligent, coherent, and quite measured. And the doctors found her perfectly sane. This wasn't a question of mental illness. And so they determined she had a right to do with her property whatever she wanted to do. And so all the while, Xenia helped the poor in secret, continuously. Any alms she got, begging, she would give most of them away to other poor people. When a chapel was being built in a cemetery, she'd go at night and help the builders by secretly moving the bricks from the brick pile to the base of the walls so their job was going to be easier the next day. Xenia also loved children. She would stop and bless any child, any baby she came across in the streets as she walked through St. Petersburg. And often if a child was ill, Xenia's blessing would affect a healing. And so she became very well known, both as an eccentric homeless woman wearing her husband's clothes and his green military coat and saying that she was him, but also as a holy woman of God. And many people mocked Xenia, and many other people revered her. And probably some did a little of both. But still she would say, I am Andre. Xenia is the one who died. Now, this life of blessing and this life of giving, she did 45 years as a widow, 45 years after her husband's passing, before eventually Xenia herself indeed dies. And she was immediately venerated by the people, and healings came to many that visited her grave. It's a beautiful, tragic, grace-filled, and very strange story. A holy and odd life we celebrate in Xenia. So the church gives us her as an example. What do we do with that for our own edification? What do we do with that in our veneration of her and her life? Do we sell everything we have and not only dress in our spouse's clothes, but tell everyone that we are them? Is that what this means? was listening to a podcast this week by a priest monk from Australia, a Father Cosmas. He was speaking of a different saint who also led a peculiar life, and someone asked him if we are supposed to follow the particulars of a saint's life. And Father Cosmas said, when we consider the life of a saint, we're not supposed to try to imitate them. We are supposed to stand in awe of them. In other words, we're supposed to just take in what they've done and have a sense of reverence and awe for the grace of God because of that. It's a bit prideful, he said, to think that we can imitate their lives. If Zenya can do it, I should too. I mean, there's a little bit of pride in there, according to Father Cosmas, and I fully agree with him. Zenya living that odd but holy life was her particular calling by God. We stand in awe of it, but don't try to imitate it. You have your own calling by God. God doesn't need another Zenya. He needs a you, in other words. But besides awe, can we get anything from her story for our own edification? And of course, the church answers with a resounding yes. But not by imitating the details, instead by imitating the virtues. And I'll share one possibility from Zenya's life today. Today in the Orthodox Church is Sanctity of Life Sunday, a day when we celebrate each and every life given by God, a day when we mourn the lives of those taken through sin, and a day we recommit to protecting and nurturing the lives of the most vulnerable among us. And there are extra petitions and prayers that the church has had composed for the litany that immediately follows the sermon. You actually have a copy next to you. You can follow those when we get to them. But you'll notice that the prayers in these extra petitions are where we pray for the helpless. We pray for the hopeless. We pray for the unborn. We pray for the poor. We pray for the needy. All those whose lives are at greater risk due to mankind's sin, mankind's neglect, and mankind's indifference. And this is one place we can certainly take a virtue from Saint Zenya. Why did she go around after Andre died saying, Zenya is the one who died? Why did she do that? Why say, I'm Andre, Zenya's the one who died? We know it wasn't insanity. Doctors determined that she knew who she really was, that she was perfectly capable of rational thought. So it wasn't insanity. Was it an act of some sort? A trickery? But to what end? She got nothing out of that, that she would need to trick people. Or is there maybe a third option? Was it a spiritual truth that when her true love died, part of Zenya died with him, and in Christ, part of Andre now lives in her, so that in truth, Zenya did die and Andre still lives? In Christ, she was actually right, because such was their connection, such was her identifying with the one she loves through their shared baptism and through their shared faith in Jesus Christ, that when Andre died, she died. And as long as she lives, so too does Andre. And that is just the way Christ loves us that was revealed through her. When one of us dies, a piece of Christ dies, but in Christ, we live. You know, when I finally breathe my last, hopefully decades from now, when I finally breathe my last, there's something in Christ that Christ will say that he's the one that died because I died. And there's something that in Christ that will say, and my Christopher still lives because of me. This is the baptism of Christ. This is how we live. And this is a virtue Zenya shows us that we really ought to take to our approach to sanctity of life. Our identifying with the loss of even one life through sin and indifference should be a loss in us. And that person should continue to live through us if we are really one in Christ. When a baby, an unborn child dies, whether it's because of being aborted or whether it's simply because, you know, the mother has no access to clean water or adequate medical care, there should be something that dies in us. When an addict overdoses because of lack of care or treatment or indifference, there should be something of us that dies too. When a refugee is shot down or starves on a faraway border, there should be something of us that dies too. When a convict is executed by the state that represents us, there should be something in us that dies right along with that convict. And when we start thinking like Zenya, that when someone dies, I die with them, when we start thinking like that, that list of people gets really long, really fast. That's a real belief in the sanctity of life. But, and here's the beauty of it all, but when we do begin to identify so closely with the vulnerable among us, that when the least among us dies and a piece of us dies with them, and then a piece of them continues to live in us through Christ, well, maybe we'll start seeing the miracles too. You know, for Zenya, it was building of churches at night. It was the comfort of the poor. It was miraculous healing of children. And since our details are different, perhaps our miracles will be different too. But if part of you dies when a life is lost, then part of that life will also live in you. And because all of that is of Christ, that is when the miracles will start to happen in your life as well. Amen.